Worship First podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we come calling on you this day, praying that you would not pass us by. Even as you hold this whole world in your hands, be mindful of us, oh God. Even as you heal people and nations and lands, would you be mindful of us, oh God. Even as you bless, as your love flows down, steadfast, everlasting, as you promised, would you please not pass us by this morning. God, we're calling on you. We're calling on you, Savior. We're calling on you, Redeemer. We're calling on you, Healer. We're calling on you as Deliverer. We're calling on you, the only name by which we know we can be saved. Jesus, please don't pass us by this morning. Jesus, we invite you into the room to inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, you are welcome. Lord, you're welcome. We invite you to just take up residence right here amidst our praise. We lift you up, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We glorify you. We honor you. We bless your holy name this day. And it's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
I'll put those hands up on again. Hello.
The power and majesty, give me all authority. The Bible says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're reading this morning from Haggai, the first chapter, verses 2 through 14. Haggai, the first chapter, beginning with verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Verse 10, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave them this message, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Oh, Lord God, Master Builder, Master Teacher, show us this day how you would have us to contribute to the building of your kingdom. Give us our work plans, oh God. Use this word to show us how you would have us to work this day and every day. How you would have us to live lives that just praise the Lord. Now, God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart are acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, our subject today is timber. Now, it's not likely that we have any lumberjacks among us, people who find themselves shouting timber as a tree begins to fall. We're a diverse group of occupations, yes, teachers and engineers, childcare workers, and more. We're even weekend warriors. Some of us, some of y'all, that is, build decks and patios and pergolas around your homes. And still, there are probably no lumberjacks in the room. Folks who spend all of their time, their days, cutting and hauling lumber for the sake of building. And yet, that's exactly what God is calling us to be in this first chapter of Haggai. folks who bring the wood, people whose whole lives cry out timber as we give ourselves to the building of the kingdom. Lumberjacks or not, all of us are called to build the house of the Lord. As a word nerd, I thought you would want to know that the word timber comes from Old English and from German. Now, the German understanding of the word was a wooden dwelling, a wooden house. And then in English, it just came to mean a building. It was throughout history. It took time for it to actually start to mean building materials, the wood, the logs, the lumbers that we build with. Now, what does that have to do with our discipleship? I'm so glad you asked. Any way you look at it, friends, we are called to build the kingdom. If we look at timber as the whole house, then this word reminds us that we are the temple of the living God, as 2 Corinthians 6 says. It reminds us that God says, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If we think timber is the whole house, then we'll remember what Peter said, that we are living stones and we are being built as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Friends, we are the spiritual house. We are timber, the building, the church, the temple of the Most High God. We are timber, the building materials, the living stones, or the foundation, as Ephesians would say, upon which the whole house of God stands. We are the timber, the foundation. Any way you look at it, we are kingdom builders. We are timber, the gifts, the hearts, the compassion, the kindness, the servant spirits that God needs to build God's kingdom. I wonder, what are the gifts, the timber, that God has blessed you with for kingdom building? I also wonder if you're using them. And if so, if you can readily say, yes, Pastor, I'm using my gifts. Well, amen. That's good news. I still invite you to take a closer look so that we might know if we're using our gifts to the fullness of our potential. Like maybe we're building tiny houses or little she sheds when God has called us to build a mansion type ministry that serves the masses. Are we using our gifts to our full potential? If you're not using your timber, you have to ask yourself, why? What are you waiting on? What are you preoccupied with? Because the truth of the matter is, many of us can get so busy with our own building plans, like the people in Haggai. We get so busy with our own building plans that we don't get around to studying the master plan, hearing what the master builder, the divine architect, would have us to construct with our lives. That's what's happening in Haggai 1. Our text invites us to consider if we've done all we could to build the Father's house, if we've joined a ministry construction crew, or if we use all our gifts for demolition, for tearing something down. This test invites us to consider if we've brought the timber to build God's house, or if we've saved the best resources for our own homes. What do we mean by timber when it comes to the church? Basically, have you supported the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness? You recognize that from our baptismal vows. Have you given that at the bare minimum? At the bare minimum, are you in worship every week that you are not working or ill or traveling? At the bare minimum, are you using the gifts God gave you for service? And if you're unsure about your gifts, you know I would love to have that conversation with you. The text asks, are we supporting the church with a tithe of whatever God gives to us? And I know we're not all in the same tax bracket. That's good news that God was so kind, so gracious, that God would ask for proportionate giving. God knew I wasn't going to bring in what some of y'all bring in. So God just asked me for my 10%, not for your 10%. Amen. So the Lord isn't asking you for $1,000 a month unless you bring in 10 G's, in which case God is asking you for that $1,000 a month. But God is only asking us for a tenth. And this text wants to know, have you brought that timber to the house of the Lord, or are you saving those resources for yourself? At the bare minimum, are you at least telling someone from week to week how good God has been to you? At the minimum, your timber is your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness. Friends, are we bringing the timber to the temple, or are we experiencing a log jam? A log jam. In pre-industrial times, before you had big trucks to move wood cross country, in pre-industrial times, they would clear a wooded area using the power of the river. So you cut down the logs, you put them in the river, and you let that living water move those logs down to the lumber mill. In a colder climate, the river might be frozen, so you'd stack a bunch of logs, a bunch of gifts, amen, on that frozen river. And when the temperature warmed and the waters thawed, those living waters would push the timber downstream to the mill. But every now and then, the logs would get stuck. They might clump up together. Too many of them might try to go through a narrow pass. Who knows? But every now and then, logs would get stuck, and they call that a log jam. I wonder if you've ever experienced a spiritual log jam, a time when you desired to use your gifts, but you felt stuck. Has there ever been a time when you weren't sure what your gifts were, so you just couldn't get going in that thing God was calling you to do? I wonder if you ever get distracted by what other folks are doing with their timber, and so you can't do what God is calling you to do with your timber. You can't stay on track. Have you ever gotten waylaid by a spiritual logjam? I know we get logjammed as a church. It sounds like this. Well, we've always done it that way. Well, we never tried that before. Well, that's just not who we are. Amen. We know what log jams sound like. One thing is for sure, people, is that we are all called to build the house of the Lord. The literal house, as in ministries that bless the masses. The spiritual house, as in building ourselves up, building up each other, wherein the Spirit dwells in us. But here's the thing. If you ever built a house, then you know you can only operate by one set of plans. Everybody has a specific job. Someone's gonna pour the foundation. Someone will raise those beams or raise the walls. Somebody else is on plumbing. Another person's charged with electricity. But they don't get to all draw up separate plans, right? Everybody works according to the site plan, according to the master plan. Did you miss that? We are all called to work according to the master's plan. And God is reminding them in Haggai, y'all ain't doing this my way. This is not what was on the master plan. Verse 5 says, you need to think about what you're doing. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I will take pleasure in it, so that I will be honored. God says, you expected much, but it turned out to be just a little. And what you brought home, I blew away. And why is that? Because my house, God says, remains a ruin. In other words, because my house still needs servant leaders. My house still needs someone greeting and ushering in people With a spirit of joy and hospitality, my house still needs disciples that will come early so they can welcome newcomers. My house still needs worshipers who will focus on me and only me whenever they arrive. God says, my house is not just a place to receive, but a place to give. And so sometimes when you're struggling to get what it is you think you need to get, it might be because you haven't given. Amen, lights and walls. God says, you expected much, but it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away, because my house remains a ruin while each of you is busy with your own home. Friends, Haggai says that the people were in their paneled houses. Now, paneled doesn't mean fancy. It just means finished. Finished. In other words, you've done what you wanted to do. Meanwhile, God's work is unfinished. You've been doing you instead of doing discipleship. You spent your time, your money, your energy, your resources, your everything on whatever it is you wanted, and you have saved so very little time, energy, resources for the Lord. Your house is paneled. It is finished. And God's house is falling apart. God's house is failing the community. God's house is not growing or glorifying God. How do we know if that's us or not? Friends, if you never have to worry about somebody sitting in your favorite spot in here, that means we're not growing. If you can show up whatever time you feel like and it's still nobody in your seat, that means we're not growing. And how do we expect to grow? How do we expect the ministry to be complete if we withhold our resources, what it is in us that was intended to build up the kingdom? If we are building a house, and we are, the people that's responsible for raising the walls can't get that done until my foundation pourers have done their part. We don't put up drywall before we put up beams. We don't hang chandeliers. That'll be pointless if whoever was coming to wire up the electricity hasn't done their part. Friends, when we withhold our gifts, when you hide your light under a bushel, they were singing "This Little Light of Mine." But when we don't let that thing shine, when we don't bring our unique electricity, our unique gifts, our timber, we cannot build the house. We know that there are some walls that we could knock out in this building to do a more expansive thing, but there are other walls that are load-bearing, right? And so if we mess with that, we got a whole mess on our hands. Well, the truth of the matter is, none of us as disciples is dispensable. There's not a single one of us that could be knocked out and the ministry still go on. Friends, we are all load-bearing disciples. We are all load-bearing disciples, but when we don't do the work, the house collapses. Everyone won't do the same work, but there is work for everyone. Everyone won't do the same work, but there is work for everyone. I'm not going to give you an assignment just yet. I want to talk to you first about the ministry of hardwoods and softwoods. Amen. Hardwoods grow slower, so they're considered stronger and more durable. And because of that, they're more expensive, right? Your oak, your walnut, your teak, your maple, hardwoods. Perfect for floors, perfect for cabinets, things that need to be durable and have a long life. They're expensive, but they're not the only wood of value. A softwood, now that contributes to the detail of the house. That would be your crown molding, your window frames, all of those little pops of magic that make the house lovely. Softwoods grow faster, so they're cheaper, but still they've got to be treated like they're valuable because they take more to maintain them. Every wood doesn't grow the same. Every wood doesn't do the same work, but there's work for every wood. Every one of us won't do the same work. We're not all growing in faith at the same rate, but there's still work for all of us to do. Lumberjacks, we are not, but we're called to build the house of the Lord. And I pray that God would bless us with clean hearts and dirty hands, hands that are hard at work for the kingdom. I pray that we don't fear getting a spiritual splinter and stop carrying our wood, carrying our timber. I pray that we're not fretting over spiritual splinters because we've carried more wood, done more work, served differently than someone else. I hope we focus on our own timber so that we're not the reason that the church, that the kingdom is log jammed. Lumberjacks, we're not, but we're all called to build the house of the Lord. We're all called to go up into the mountains, the text says. You know, the mountains, that was their worship space. So we're called to let our worship, what happens here or what happens in your private time with God, we're called to let our worship inspire our service. And friends, if your worship doesn't inspire you to serve, we might need to think about our relationship. Now, I'm talking about service right now. I'm not talking about who shows up in here on a Sunday or who logs in on Zoom. That's the starting point. That's where we get ignited. I'm talking about what happens after your worship. And if your worship doesn't drive you to serve, it's time to think about the relationship. Is it one-sided? Is God the only giver in this relationship? Are we givers too? Because we're called to give everything we have to the building of the kingdom, to go up in the mountains and bring the wood. We're called to let our whole lives cry out, timber, as we give ourselves to the work of God, to the work of this house, withholding nothing from the God who withholds nothing from us. And why? Because we are the temple, the dwelling place of the Most High God. In Haggai's time, it was important for a God, a deity, to have a place to dwell. But we know now that God is not limited to a building. God is alive in us. We are the church. We are the timber. So how are you building yourself spiritually even? How are you growing in faith and glorifying God? How are we making ourselves a good home for the Spirit of the Lord to live in? Friends, how is your life, your timber, your gifts, your uniqueness helping the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? Tell me, how does your life shout timber? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.